love so much is community groups, and like I said, here soon, July 30th, we're going to be having the draft day for that, where you can sign up. Make sure if you've never done that, to do that. It's a place where you build relationship, eat food. Who doesn't want to eat food, right? Everybody wants to eat food. And get to hang out and talk about Jesus. It's going to be a really, really good time. Well, at this time, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. So if our ushers would come on up, we're going to be doing that. I love this time. I do every Sunday. See, I don't have cash or check. I actually write about 3 checks a year. So my generation, right? We have cards. So I go every morning on Sunday and I swipe my card and do my offering that way. But I love that time because I get to, before I swipe my card, I think, God, I know that you promised me that you are in control of my finances, that you will bless me, and that you've got this. And I swipe it. Type in how much I'm going to give. And I love that because it's a remembrance to me that he is in control of my finances, not me. I don't want to be in control of my finances. Amen. Right? I would be a blundering mess. But I know if I can give it to him, then no matter how bad things seem to get, I know, God, you're going to get me through this. And I just want to tell you a quick story. Over the last few months, we have been kind of going through a really financial struggle, my wife and I, and just trying to make ends meet. And man, over the last few weeks, it's like so many people are just like, hey, come do work at my house. Hey, I want to bless you through this. And it is just so amazing to me that I can stand on God's word when it says, I will bless you, I will take care of you. And I love it because in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. That's our promise. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. If we would just say, God, what is it that you want me to give? God, what is it that you require from me? God will speak to you in that. And as you give, you can say, God, I'm trusting you. And one thing I love about God is we can always trust him. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. God, we thank you for the people in this room. God, the ones who are saying and asking you right now, God, what is it that you want? What is it that can bless people? What is it that can go around the world to be able to share the gospel? What is it that you would ask of me? And God, we give, hopefully, out of love and out of joy, knowing that you're in control. God, we don't give reluctantly or grudgingly. God, I pray that my heart, even as I give, would not be to do this out of a religious reason, but it would because of relationship with you, and I know that you're going to take care of me, Dad. We love you. In your name, amen. All right, this morning we are going to talk about true life. Everybody say, true life. True life. True life. What is it all about? Our mission statement here at Grace Chapel is finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can everybody say that? Finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a long statement. It's kind of long. It's a good statement, and you need every single part of that statement in order for it to work, right? Finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. There it is. Finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. True life. What is it all about? What is true life? What does it mean to live a life of abundance, of joy, of peace, of love? The life that God has designed for you and for me to live. A true life. I think that most of us like the idea of this. But most of us would say, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to live the true life. I don't know how to live an abundant life. I know God wants me to, but let's be honest. I'm not living it right now. At least it doesn't seem like I am. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is how we can live a true abundant life. How we can experience it. And this journey that I've gotten to take over these last few months that has really showed me in my life how to live this out. How to live a true life. Have you guys ever had a moment in life that was just amazing? Maybe it's when your child was born and you were like, wow. Maybe it was this moment when everything seemed to line up and the birds were singing and everything was happy and you just thought, this is awesome. We get to experience those moments, right, in life. We do. God like gives us these glimpses, I think, of what heaven is like, just in these moments of just bliss. I know that for me, I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I used to go with my dad, who gets to be here with me this weekend. We used to go hunting all the time, and we would go out to these beautiful mountains. There's no mountains in Texas. I mean, there's big hills, but everyone says that. West Texas, I don't want to go to West Texas. No, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm just playing with you. But in New Mexico, there's these huge mountains that you get to go to where there's beautiful trees, and you can get lost. In fact, I've been lost in the mountains. My dad had to come find me anyway. So here's the deal. I would go hunting and I would go camping and just hiking, and I loved it because what I would do is I would walk just probably a couple miles and I'd try to find a place where the trees just stopped and there was this beautiful field and it was like the perfect weather, and I would take off my backpack and I'd set it against the tree and I would sit down and I would just rest my back against the tree and I would just stare out at this field. And there's trees lining it, and you could hear the birds singing, and the grass is just swaying in the wind. And I would probably pass out for a couple hours. You know, it was just awesome. And everyone's like, I want to go there right now. It's so beautiful. You know, like, it's awesome. And I would do that as much as I could because I loved doing that. I love just being in nature. And I love that there's those moments that you get to experience those kind of things here on earth. But let's be honest, if I would have stayed in that moment for more than a couple hours, something would have started happening. One, I would have gotten really hungry, because I'm always hungry, you know? I would have gotten really hungry. And then, if you're in the mountains of New Mexico, it's going to get really cold at night, you know? I would have froze to death if I would have stayed there. And isn't that like life? The moments that we get to experience of just bliss, the true life moments, the happy moments, they always seem to pass away, right? The things that we think, oh man, if I just could experience this every day of my life, if I could just do that, if I could just be in the woods every day, that would be awesome. No, because you turn into a hermit, right? And you would have no friends. Then you eventually start talking to your fake friend named Wilson, right? Like, that's what would happen, okay? It never works out how you dream in your mind something should be. We always have these expectations of what a true life, a beautiful life. Oh, if I just had more money. That's me, right? If I just had more money, if I just had more things, if my wife was just a little better, if my husband was just a little nicer, don't look at your spouse and nod. And if it, you know, it's those kind of things, right? If my life just had fill in the blank, you could probably all answer what that is right now. Man, if I just had that, that'd be great. You know, we think that if we had those things, it would make us happy, but ultimately it doesn't, right? Because we've gotten those things before, right? I remember when I was in high school, I thought, man, if I just had a motorcycle, all the girls would think I was so cool and I could go so fast. And you know what? I got a motorcycle. And my dad was probably like, please, God, don't let him die, right? And so I would drive my motorcycle, and you know what? It was really fun for a couple months, and I was like, this isn't that fun. It's not as great as I thought it was going to be, right? And then I got a Mustang GT, 5-speed, yeah, this is awesome. And after a couple months, it was really expensive to maintain. And I'm like, this isn't as fun as I thought it would be. It's kind of like my idea of the perfect dog. Do you guys have the idea of the perfect dog? There's this idea in my mind that I will walk in the door someday, and this dog will come up to me so happy to see me, but it won't be shedding because I don't want to pick up the fur, and it won't slobber because I don't like slobber, and it won't jump on me because I don't want, like, paw prints, and like, it'll come everywhere I go, and it will never poop because I don't want to clean that up. You guys are getting what I'm saying. There is no perfect dog, right? Toys R Us, yeah. But it doesn't walk up to me. Well, maybe I could train it to. Anyway, okay. I could program it. what I'm saying is this, and you guys are getting where I'm going, there is no perfect thing here on earth. There is nothing that can make you truly happy. It doesn't matter how wonderful your spouse is. It doesn't matter how wonderful your kids are. It doesn't matter how great your job is, how much money you have. You will never be truly fulfilled in your life. There'll always be those moments that you just go, man, is this all that life has to offer me? You ever been there? Is this all? And what I believe this morning, and I hope you do too, especially after I'm done with this sermon or I didn't do my job, is that true life, abundant life, is found in one place. And that is in Christ. Amen. That is when we understand who God has made us to be, and we are walking every day hand in hand with Jesus. If we aren't in that place, then we are constantly going to struggle to find the next best thing. And you know what it's like, and I know what it's like, because we're human and we do it all the time. It doesn't matter how great of a relationship with God your God, how great your relationship with God is, you still struggle with this. I still struggle with this. I wake up, man, if I just could get the coolest bow, and I could go to the coolest hunting place, and if I could have the car, whatever. It never seems to work out like that. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how we walk in true life, finding true life in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing that I think we have to do is understand that God wants us to have an abundant life. Say that. God wants me to have an abundant life. Abundant life. A lot of people don't think that, though. Have you ever met Christians who don't think God wants them to have an abundant life? I'm a Christian, I'm mad about it. You know, those kind of Christians? Like the people that always seem mad that God saved their life and Jesus died for them. I don't want to be like that, right? God wants you to have an abundant life. Let's go to John 10. If you have your Bible, you can go to John 10. We're going to start in verse 7. And we're going to see what Jesus says to a group of people. He starts talking about this story about sheep and how he's the shepherd and the gate and all this stuff. And everyone's like, I have no idea what you're saying, Jesus. Which, that happens a lot, okay? And Jesus, he says in verse 7, he just explains it. He says, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. That's really important. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. That word right there, satisfying, it can also be translated to abundant. In the Greek, it's perisos. I probably said that wrong, but that's what it is, all right? Perisos, which means this, exceeding abundantly above and beyond measure. I like that word. Christ says, I have come that they would have an exceedingly above, abundantly, beyond measure life. That's the life God wants us to have. Not a meager existence where they barely get by and they're always questioning me and wondering if I'm ever going to show up in their life. Right? Let's be honest, I've been there. God, what's going on? When are you going to show up, God? Why isn't this going on? Why isn't it happening like I want? No, Jesus says, hey, I've come that they would have an abundant life, an exceeding above and beyond measure kind of life. Beyond what they could imagine. And I read things like this, and I used to read things like this, and I'd say, whoa, that's awesome. But I'm not experiencing this right now. It seems like my life is not lining up the way that Jesus describes my life should be lining up. It seems like I'm always struggling with things, like I'm always dealing with the same sin issues over and over and over again. Why? If Jesus says, I've come that they would have an abundant life, why is it that my life doesn't seem very abundant? Well, what we need to do first, like I said, is understand that God wants us to have an abundant life. So everyone say, God wants me to have an abundant life. Good, I'm glad you agree. Okay, Ephesians 1 is where we're going to go next. We're going to start in verse 3. I'll give you a moment to get there. And this now is the explanation from Paul of kind of how to experience this abundant life. What the abundant life really is, what it looks like, how we walk in this. All right? Because there's so many people out there, they're not told these things, and so they think, well, if I just give my life to Jesus, that's enough. And yes, it's enough. You're saved, but there's so much that comes along with that that we don't walk in because we don't know about it. And so for Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says this, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has," now let's say this, "who has," everyone say, "who has," all right. What is has? Has is past tense, right? Yeah. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we," say we, "are united with Christ." All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, it's past tense, blessed us with every, everyone say every, spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Not because you go to church, not because your grandmother went to church, not because you took communion, or because you pray or you read the Bible or you tithe or you say weird things or whatever. Because you are united with Christ, you have every spiritual blessing given to you in full measure. Well, really? So what you're saying is everything has been given to me. Everything, every spiritual blessing. Yeah, every spiritual blessing has been given to you the second that you united yourself with Christ. See, because you are united with Christ, the moment you did that, God looks at you and he sees Jesus. He doesn't see you. We're going to look at why. In verse 4, it says, "Even before he made the world." Think about this for a moment. God loved us before he spoke eternity into existence, or the world into existence. He said, "I love them." And he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. I forgot to take that out. That's what my notes say. How powerful this is for us today. That's not actually in the Bible. I just left that in there. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Everyone say, "I am holy, and I am without fault in his eyes." You need to hear that. You need to hear that. Did you know that God, remember this is past tense, that God, if you have united yourself with Christ, he sees you as holy and without fault. Without fault. Now, I've heard and grown up in many ways thinking this was not true. That, man, I had to make myself holy before God. But that's not the case. God says, hey, if you have united yourself with Christ, you're holy in my eyes. You're holy. And he loved us so much that he wanted to do that, and he did it. Even before the creation of the world, he said, hey, I understand that I'm going to have to send my son, but I'm going to do it for them because I love them. Verse 5, it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's how much you're loved, church. So we praise God for his glorious grace he has poured out on us. Grace, if you remember this acronym I always like to use, God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is literally all this blessing given to you in full measure. It says this, so we praise God for this glorious grace he has poured out on us who believe in his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased, past tense, our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave, past tense, our sins. How does that work? He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and all understanding. With all wisdom and understanding. Did you know, let's just wrap our minds around this for a second. What this scripture is telling us is that God has given you, when you unite yourself with Christ, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. He has made you holy and perfect in His eyes. He has given you all wisdom and understanding. He has poured out His grace on you, and He has forgiven your sin. Past, present, future. It's past tense, right? How? When you united yourself with Christ. Those are the important words. The most important words. It's all important. The most important word says when you united yourself with Christ. See, when Jesus died, sin was broken. When Jesus said it is finished, it was actually finished. Some people think it's like, oh no, but I got to keep asking for forgiveness over and over and over again. No. What God is saying is your sins are forgiven. Now accept it by uniting yourself with Christ. I just died once and for all. So sin would be eradicated. See, the world around us, what people don't realize, maybe we don't realize sometimes, is sin is done with. It really is. Sin in the eyes of God is done with, but we have to accept that reality by uniting ourselves with Christ. See, if you're not united with Christ, then sin is still a reality in your life before God. He still sees you as sinful. But the minute you accept Christ, He goes, hey, you are holy and without fault in my eyes. So how do we unite ourselves with Christ? I'm glad you asked. In verse 12, it says, God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, all right? Have also heard the truth, the good news, or that word good news translates to gospel, that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee. Say guarantee. Love that word. That He will give us the inheritance He promised us, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify Him. So God gave us all these things up front. The thing about God that blows me away is He is all in before we have ever anteed, right? He is all in before we ever even started the game. Even because we weren't born 2,020 years ago, right? So before you were even born, sin was forgiven by God. Now it's up to you to accept that reality. To unite yourself with Christ and say, God, I am going to choose You. I am going to unite myself with Jesus. And again, it says, when you believed in Christ. So that's a big word, belief. Belief is a big word. It translates, really that word belief, translates to all in. With everything that I have, I'm putting all my cards on the table and saying, I'm going all in this direction. I am not going to hold on to any other reality. I'm not going to hold on to any other truth. I'm going all in to the one truth that it is through Jesus Christ that I am saved. There is no other way. There is no other option. It is Jesus. And that's a lot of people in this world. They think, a lot of us growing up, maybe we thought, well, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. But what about this side? Well, what about that side? Well, I'm going to dabble and see if this kind of makes sense. I'm going to dabble and see if that makes sense. No, belief means you're all in. I'm not going to do anything else but give my life in full to Jesus. That's it. That is uniting yourself with Christ. When you do that, everything's available to you. Let's see how we walk in this. How this happens. Because it doesn't make sense, right? It seems to not make sense. It's like, so what you're saying, God, is I'm holy. But the minute I accepted Jesus when I was 8 years old, I didn't feel this holy moment, okay? Maybe you did. Maybe, I don't know, but I didn't. I remember I was with my dad. I think I was 8 years old on Mother's Day. And I was like, Dad, I want to accept Jesus in my high voice, right? You ever watch videos of yourself real quick? You ever watch videos of yourself when you were like 10 years old? And you're like, my voice sounded like that? Like, hey! You know, like, it is horrible. Anyway, going back to the point, I accepted Jesus and it was like, cool, awesome. That was it, right? I wish, don't you wish, like when you say, Jesus, I make you Lord and Savior, it's like, whoa, you know, like everything, all this like reality started coming into your mind and you're just like, this is amazing, right? Like electricity is shot through your body and you're like, something just happened, you know? Some people have that. I didn't. It was just this, okay, cool, awesome. But what I didn't recognize is that at that moment, literally, my spirit was made new. My spirit became like Jesus. I was actually united with the Spirit of Christ. And all blessing, all wisdom, all understanding, holiness, perfection was literally given to me because I believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's the same for you if you believe in Him. But how do I access that? Because after that, I still dealt with a lot of issues, sin issues in my life. I still do today. I still look in the mirror and I wish Jesus perfected the fact that I didn't get zits, right? Like, I still get zits. I still feel pain. I get allergies sometimes. I'm like, this is dumb. This should be gone, right? So the Bible says I'm healed, so why aren't I experiencing these things? Why is my thoughts constantly wrong, right? Why do I look at some things and say things and I think things and I want to? Because you and I are three parts, all right? And we're going to go through this real quick. I could do a whole sermon series on this. If you have questions, please talk to me. But we're three parts. Everyone say, I'm three parts. We see this in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock and all wild animals on earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So, this is really important. God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Remember what He says? He says, let us make humans in our image. A lot of people think, oh, this means like God's male and He looks just like this and, you know, it's the physical form. No, He's talking about spiritually. God is three parts. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You and I are three-part beings. We are body, soul, and spirit beings. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 23. It says, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's three parts to you and I. There's a body. It's this thing right here. You can slap it, smack it, put stuff on it, right? Makeup, whatever. You look at it and you're like, this is my body. This is my body, right? It's the part your spouse likes, you know? Woo! Amen. Thank you for a body, Jesus. Okay, moving on. The next part is your soul, the thing that makes you you, right? You could probably have another body, but you'd still, this is you, you know? Like the thoughts that you have, the things that you think, the experiences that have made you you. The fact that you get happy or depressed or whatever the emotions you're feeling, that's your soul. Those two things, we have learned our whole life how to identify those two things. I know instantly if I touch a hot burner, ow, that's hot. I know instantly how I'm feeling. If you were to ask me, how are you really feeling? I could tell you, man, I'm having a hard day. I'm doing really good. You know, I know because I've learned how to identify this. Sometimes I think things and I'm like, where did that come from? But still, like, you know, this is me. It's all in there. Scientists can't explain the soul. They really can't. They know that there's a brain, but they can't explain how we think the way we do, why we think those things. But then there's a third part to us, the spirit. And that is something that constantly Jesus talks about over and over and over again. The spirit realm. The things of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in you. And it's like, Spirit, Spirit, what is He talking about? Because we can't see the Spirit. We can't feel the Spirit. I mean, yeah, we get glimpses of it, right? At times you feel and you're like, wow, something's happening. I can feel that. But we can't see the fact that you are the Spirit of Christ that is in you. You cannot see the fact that you are holy and perfect before God. You cannot see the fact that God has given you every spiritual blessing. You just can't, right? I can't just go, cool, my thoughts are completely awesome now, and I'll never think a bad thought. I can't do that. I wish I could. That'd be awesome. How many of you have tried? I've tried, right? Jesus, I'm never going to have another bad thought. I just had a bad thought, right? Like, that's how that happens. Because it's in our spirit that all these things exist. It is in our spirit that we are united with Christ. It doesn't say that your body has been united with Christ. It doesn't say that your soul is united with Christ. It says your spirit. You have the spirit of Christ. So how do I access the spirit? And this is something that we need to know. We have to know this if we are going to walk in the abundant life, the true life that God has destined us to live. We walk in this spirit through this. Faith. Everyone say faith. Faith is believing, right? When you believed in Christ, you are united in spirit with Him. It's through faith that you are now given all these things, that you can experience all these things. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it says this, "For it is by grace," remember that word grace, that includes everything, not just being saved, that includes everything. You have, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through," everyone say it, "faith. It is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast." So grace, everything, God's riches at Christ's expense is given to us, is received, and even walked out in faith. In faith, in believing. But can I be honest with you? I messed this up. I started realizing these things, and I started going, okay, this is mine. I started claiming it, right? And we should. It's good. I am holy in the name of Jesus. Man, I'm perfect in the name of Jesus. God, this is who you have made me to be in my spirit. And I'm going to claim that those things in my spirit are more real, because they are, than what is in your soul, than what is in my body. And I'm going to begin to claim these things. God, I have been given healing. I have been sanctified. I have been justified. I have been cleansed. That's what the Bible says about you. In your spirit, all these things exist. But how do we then make it a reality in our life? We have faith. We believe. But I got it wrong. I thought, okay, cool, awesome. Got the answer, the key that finally unlocked this mystery to me, how I walk in this stuff. And it worked. Like, it really worked. I had been dealing with some sin issues that I had been struggling with my whole life. And then all of a sudden, when I started getting this reality, I started going, you know what? Every time I'd mess up, I would just go to God and say, God, this is not who you made me to be. I am perfect in Christ. I am not messed up. I am not sinful. I'm perfect. I'm holy. And this is who you made me be. And I started speaking those things out. And you know what? The sin issues just started going away. They really did. And so I thought, okay, now it's up to me. It's up to me now to build myself in faith. God, I am going to build my faith. So I started praying all the time and reading my Bible all the time. But you know what? All those things are great, but I was doing them in the wrong way. I was doing it so I could experience the things of God, not so that I could get to know God. And I thought, if I just do what God wants me to do, then my faith will be built up to the point where I can go and lay my hands on someone and see them be healed. I can do it. Because that's what the Bible says. A prayer of faith will heal someone. It says to believe. And Jesus says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can look at that mountain and say, be moved. I'm like, come on, mountain. How do I do this? Is it like a Jedi mind trick? What is this? You know what I mean? Like, how does this work? And I kept getting frustrated because I kept going, okay, I've got to build my faith. Come on, faith, how do I build this? Maybe like rev it an engine or what? I don't know if you're weird like me. I'm weird. I just kept asking, God, why am I not experiencing these things? Yeah, I've experienced some things, but I'm not experiencing all that I know you want from me, God. I'm still struggling with things. Why is my faith not big enough? What more do I have to do in order to build my faith? Have you ever come to that place? And I remember I was talking to my dad one night, very late. We like to do this. We have these just theological debates all the time. I like it. He probably hates it because I'm always like yelling in a good way. Anyway, so I'm like, no, Dad, what about this? What about this? Oh, yeah, okay, oh, yeah. And we came to this verse, Hebrews 12, and this was a turning point in my life, and I will never be the same after reading this verse and recognizing it and what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Starting in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And let's stop there. Don't go on, Jacob. Because I want to expose the thoughts of a human mind for a moment. You can pull that verse back up. When we read verses like this, what we tend to do is when it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, we think, okay, I got to do that. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Okay, I got to do that. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Okay, I got to do that. So we think, I got to get rid of sin in my life. I got to stop doing this. Every time I mess up, I got to stop that. Stop that. I've heard so many people be like, what if I just write down the things that I do wrong and I just start saying, I'm not going to do those. And people, it just tears you up. I used to at night, every day, cry out to God saying, God, why am I like this? Why am I thinking these thoughts? God, I keep saying I'm going to stop, but then I don't stop. Why is this? And I'd read verses like this and I'd say, what is wrong with me? God, you say that I'm free of sin, yet I'm still in sin. All the time, I'm struggling with this, I'm doing this. And then the next verse comes. All that stuff, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates, everyone say initiates, and perfects, everyone say perfects, our faith. This was a mind-blowing experience for me. Because what I recognize, it's not me that even builds my faith. I have nothing to do with it. The only thing that I need to do is set my eyes on Jesus and get to know Him. Do you know how much religious work, church, we probably do just trying to do the right things when the whole time God is saying, just get to know me. Just get to know me. And it was this moment, my dad and I, we talked about it, and it was literally like blinders came off my eyes. And I just felt like God said, son, don't you realize, you've read the Bible many times, because I have, don't you realize that from Genesis to Revelation, my one heart's cry has been, get to know me. From the moment that I breathed life into Adam, it was to have relationship, to the moment that I told Abraham, hey, you're going to have a promise, and it's going to be far off, but you're going to go to a land, and that land is going to be yours and your people that I will choose. It was for relationship, to the moment that Jesus was born, till he died, and he came back, and he went with his disciples, and he said, now go. I will be with you forever and for all time, and then I'm coming back. From Genesis to Revelation, God's heart cry is get to know me. And if we would just get to know Him, all the blessings, all the true life, abundant life that is found in Christ would be revealed in our life, not because we've built ourselves up, but because we've said, Jesus, you're what's important. It's great to have mottos. It's great to have sayings. It's great to have verses that we stand on. Those things are great, but those things cannot save us. Those things cannot set us free. It is through Jesus Christ that we're set free. And don't get me wrong, the Word of God sets us free, because that is the Word, the very nature of God. But we need to get to know Him through His Word, through prayer, through worship. And we can't do these things as religious activity. If we are, then we're only banging our own drum. Look at me, I'm worshiping God. Shouldn't my faith be so great? Oh God, I'm going to pray up and down these aisles. I'm going to look so awesome, God. Shouldn't my faith be big enough? And Jesus says, it's still not a mustard seed because you're not doing it through me. Get to know me. My heart's cry is for you to just get to know me. I love it when Jesus walks up to the disciples because he doesn't say, hey, come and be perfect and then follow me. He doesn't say, come and you better not cuss and you better have a right mind and you better have a... He just says, hey, follow me. And as the disciples walk with Jesus every day, they begin through relationship to see who he was. To the point where they believed in who he was, they set thousands of people free, right, through Christ. They just saw miracles and all these things. Why? Because they got to know him, right? And so many of us, we think, well, if I just do the right stuff, if I just show up to church, if I just this and that, then everything's going to be okay. But that's not what the Bible says. It says it's Christ who initiates and who perfects your faith. Your faith is through Christ alone, through getting to know him. So everything is through Jesus. This is the one thing I want you to remember for this sermon, is that true life is true relationship with God. True life is true relationship with God. If you want to experience a life of freedom over sin, over sickness, over depression, over wrong thinking, stinking thinking, whatever it is, build relationship with Jesus. Yeah, but so Austin, you're saying that I don't have to do anything? Like I just need to start talking to Jesus more and like reading my Bible and getting to know God more? Yeah. I tell people so many times, I told my students this last Wednesday night, I said, stop reading the Bible for chapters at a time. Because then you don't remember any of it, right? Take one verse and just say, God, I want to know you more. You read that one verse and you just meditate on that verse. What does this mean? What is God speaking to me? Because it's about relationship. You know, if I were to go out with my wife, and maybe you've done this, and you've probably seen this, I go out with my wife, if I spent hours with her, but I was on my phone the whole time, her and I would not know each other any better, right? And that's what so many Christians are doing. We are talking to God and reading our Bible, maybe for hours, but none of it was through relationship. It was all through religious activity, and when we're done with it all, we go, I don't even know what that did for me. What did God speak to you during prayer? I don't know. I talked to him a lot, though. What did he say back to you? I don't know. What did you read today? What is it speaking to you? Well, I don't know. I mean, I read a lot. That means this, is that we're doing it for religious activity. Because the Holy Spirit that inspired the Bible, the Holy Spirit that is in you speaking to the Father as you speak to him, he will reveal, the Bible says to you, the mysteries of God. He will teach you. He will educate you. He will renew your mind. And if we're not experiencing those things on a daily basis, then we're doing religious activity. Right? But God is so in love with us that he says, get to know me. Get to know me. Your abundant, amazing life is all found in Jesus. In Jesus. One last thing, and then I'll stop so you can come up here. I love roller coasters. Does anybody like roller coasters in here? I love this one roller coaster at Disneyland called the Tower of Terror. Have any of you been on the Tower of Terror? Yes. Some people are like, I hate the thing. It's horrible. I'm like, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Like, I love it. Okay? Well, my mom and her family, they just went to Disneyland, and they were taking all these pictures. Did you know they changed the Tower of Terror? It's now Guardians of the Galaxy, and I was really upset about it because I'm like, look, that was like my ride. This thing would take you up like stories and then drop you. And then take you up and drop you. And it was so much fun. I loved it. Every time I'd go and I'd ride it like umpteen times, like, let's do it again. My wife would look at me, she's like, I'm not going to ride it again. And I'm like 25, like, let's do it again. You know, like, I want to. It's so much fun. Well, here's the deal about any roller coaster. You cannot run fast enough, jump high enough to get the thrill and experience that that roller coaster can give you. What you have to do is unite yourself with that roller coaster, and it's going to take you on the ride of your life. And in the same way, you can try as much religious activity as you want. You can read the Bible and pray and worship and come to church. But if you're not doing it to get to know Jesus, then you're just jumping up and down. You've got to unite. Click in that buckle and say, Jesus, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my everything. Take me on the ride of my life. I am trusting you. And I know that you're going to do more with me than I could ever do on my own. I love this roller coaster called California Scream. It takes you from 0 to 70 in like a couple seconds. I could never run that fast. You could never run that fast. But see, what God is doing is He's saying, hey, I'm going to take you 0 to 70, but you've got to unite with me. I'm going to take you on the ride of your life, but you've got to unite with me. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot. You can't come up with enough cool sayings. You can't come up with enough religious friends to hang out with. You are constantly going to struggle with the thoughts, with the impurities, with the issues, with the depression that's going to come up in your life until you say, Jesus, it's you. It's always been you. It will always be you. And I'm going to give you my time. What I've done in my life is the moment I wake up in the morning, and I'm not perfect with this, like none of us are perfect with this. I don't do it every day like I wish I did, but what I try to do is I wake up and the first thing I do is say, hey, Dad, I love you. I love you. And I just start, as I, you know, go and out and into my living room, I start working out and I just say, God, I love you. You're so wonderful. I just start proclaiming, God, you say that I'm holy. Thank you for that. You say that I'm righteous before you. Thank you for that, Father. You have changed me. You have made me new. You are holy. You are perfect. I don't tell God what I need from Him that day because it says He's already given it to me. It says, God, you will take care of me. You love me. You care about me. And you know what? If I notice that I'm getting depressed, because I get depressed sometimes, I start speaking out, God, in your name, I am not depressed. I have peace and joy. Thank you for that, Father. I start worshiping Him, and it just seems to go away. I remember one night I was so sick. I was telling my dad about it. I thought I was going to throw up my guts everywhere. And I just said over and over, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I am healed. You get out of here, sickness, over and over. And nothing worked. I'm like, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? And I said, you know what? Forget this. I'm just going to worship. I put on worship music. The second I started singing, I'm not going to lie, it went away. And God just spoke to me. He's like, stop telling it and just worship me. Spend time with me. As you spend time with me, you are going to walk in things you could never, ever imagine. Just realize that it's all in me. It's not up to you, it's me. And I was just like, God, I'm still a long way from figuring this all out. But that's the fun of it, is that we get to every day walk with God, figuring this thing out with Him. And He knows all the answers, we don't. So why not spend time with Him every day? Why not get to know Him? I see so many Christians that are dealing with depression and questions, and I struggle with it too. But it's because we get our eyes off Jesus. We just need to get them back on to Him. Amen. Let's pray. This morning, if you have never united yourself with Jesus by believing Him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to say, Jesus, I want to unite myself with you. I want to pray a prayer with you that says, Jesus, I believe you are Lord and Savior. If that's you for the first time in your life, would you just raise your hand as everyone's bowed their head, closed their eyes? Cool. And maybe you're in here and you're saying, hey, I've been doing religious activity, but I want to make this about a relationship with God. You can just on your own tell Him that right now. And I just want to pray with you that we would set our eyes back on Jesus and live this true, abundant life that He has created us to live. Jesus, You are awesome and amazing. I love You, Dad. I love You, Father. God, I struggle, and I know everyone does in here, with this thought that everything is just found in You. I know that so many times I try to do it on my own strength, but Jesus, it's always been and it will always be You. I pray that we would set our hearts, our minds on You, and the things that are in the Spirit would become a reality in our soul and in our body, that we would start to experience the things that You have for us, but not through us building ourselves up, but instead of it would be us building ourselves up in You. Jesus, that You, as Paul had said, would renew our mind every day to think of the thoughts, to search our deepest thoughts, and to begin to make them attuned to Your Spirit, Jesus. We love You, and we thank You for all that You've done. It's all past tense. Thank You, Father. You're a Father who gave all so that we could experience all in the hopes that we would just choose You. What a beautiful thing that is. We love You. We love You. We love You. You're so good, Jesus. So good, Father. In Your beautiful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming here this morning. I hope that you have a wonderful July 4th. If you'd like prayer for anything, we'll be up here. If Cindy Bridges, if you'd come and pray, and Mark, myself, we'll be up here. Love you. Have a wonderful day.